Welcome everyone to the Pantheon. I'm your host, Ray.
Along with my partner in K-Rhyme, Evie.
What's up?
And so it's about 6, 8 o'clock. Is it 8 o'clock? Wow, it's late. And Evie, where are we now?
We are at the Chelsea Hotel in
Yep.
Toronto. A lot of our fans are trying to show up, they have signs and stuff shouting, Ray, Ray, Evie, Evie,
Yeah, protests with pitchforks and get the hell out of downtown. Hey, yeah, we're in downtown
Hard to
Toronto.
be us, but
We've had an interesting time when to see a couple of films, and so we're going to get into that feature film of the week, and that is the box office dud, Fantastic Four.
human beings have an immeasurable desire to discover, but with every new discovery, there are consequences.
Ben Grimm is your typical American teenager. He's Reed Richards' best friend, and he'll do anything to protect him. And they are in some kind of horrific accident. He becomes so far removed from the human form, he's literally made of rocks.
What I really liked about Reed Richards was his hyper-intelligence. He wants to use all of his knowledge to be able to do something that nobody has done before. In this accident, it's very traumatic.
All these abilities come from another dimension.
Having complete elasticity, it's a lot of power.
Sue Storm was adopted by Dr. Storm, and Johnny is her brother. She's very smart. In the aftermath of the big accident, she can go invisible or use a force field. Even though I have this gift, I'm still very much human.
Johnny's an adrenaline junkie. He likes to walk right up to the line, maybe step on the line. We've been in an accident. We have to cope with life after this traumatic event.
If you can work together, then you can change the course of history.
According to IMDb, it took $120 million to make this movie. It made $11 million on its first day, $26.2 million for the entire weekend. Okay. Now, the $120 doesn't even include the promotional cost. That's just the production of making it happen. So you add the $120 on top of whatever it costs to promote it through, like,
20 million, I think.
20 million. So
Yeah,
let's say
something like that.
$140 million. It's only made 20 mil, 26 million on the first weekend.
Yeah.
And that's where it usually makes its big money.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have to make money. Kill. It has to make its money back on
Maybe on
DVD,
DVD, yeah.
DVD, Blu-ray sales, and that's going to be at least. Well, luckily for them, Christmas is around the corner, and they better pray to the magical genie to save them, because this movie isn't doing well. Initially, I wrote in my blog prior that not only was Fox really banking high on this, and initially before they saw the final draft, that they actually predicted and forecast a sequel to come out in 2018, the same time as Hugh Jackman's The Wolverine, and there will not be a movie that will link X-Men with the Fantastic Four, which was what Bryan Singer said should this film be successful. It's been it got trashed bad, and it's been nothing but bad reviews on this. Do you agree with the critics?
I didn't think it was that bad. I just thought they rushed the ending. That's all. And yeah, I just think they rushed the ending, and I would have liked a bit more story.
Well, the first half of the movie is about him or them creating interdimensional travel to this other planet. The last half, because you have to now get, I think it's because you have to get them as a unit, a working unit, a superhero team, explain the villain, come to a conclusion, sum everything up, and you have less than an hour to do that.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. They felt like it, and also there's a 1 year gap in storytelling between that and the ending.
Yeah.
That doesn't explain at all. They just
No.
Which is really bad storytelling. The audience did feel cheated in the sense. But what I think what made it worse though is that you and I were sung back, because at the end of the credits you get an extra bonus. Ladies and gentlemen, do not go wait around to the end of the credits. There is nothing for you to see. Absolutely nothing to see, right? Unless you want to see how many people were working on the animations and CGI, which is a army of people working on CGI that end up being unappreciated by the general audience. So, but if you're looking for a little bonus, a reward for enduring this movie, you're not going to get it. Okay, now we're going to head into our email bag.
Newford, and mailbag song. Hit it!
Letters.
I get letters.
So many letters.
And Evie, you can do the first email.
Okay. Daniel Hill writes, I give it the extra half star. It's for Kate Mara not being Jessica Alba.
Ooh, yeah, that's pretty hard. Oh, that's not right.
Well, you know what? Sal from Point Pelee writes, I was hoping this film would be good. I loved Chronicle, and the cast is quite stellar. I was hoping it would be good to shut up all the fanboys who prayed it would be bad, just so Marvel Universe can get that much more convoluted. I was quite sick of hearing how this cast is so bad by people who probably never seen how good the actors are. Not having seen stuff like Whiplash, House of Cards, Fruitvale Station, or Billy Elliot, Fox has to be the worst company for trashing their own films. I'm almost amazed X-Men recovered.
Chucky, the movie guy, writes, this film exists for only one reason. Fox didn't want to lose the rights, which actually is very true. They have a certain amount of years of holding on to the film rights before it reverts back to its original owner, like in the script. Anyways, he writes down, that's the same reason we were forced to endure Spider-Man reboot from Sony. At least the end result of that disaster, and thanks in no small part to the Sony hack, Sony has now agreed to share the rights with Marvel. Hopefully, the train wreck of a film will have the same result. The Fantastic Four has the potential to be the most emotionally engaging superhero property because the main appeal of those four characters is how much they identify as a family. That's something Fox doesn't get, but Marvel understands that for the last 54 years of comics. Yes, that's true. Absolutely right. I'm going to give you the example. I think we just talked about this. Ang Lee missed the boat with Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
He made it a very adult-thinking Bruce Banner or David Banner, and the Hulk character was secondary. It wasn't really the Hulk. It became a mental Twilight Zone version of David Banner in going through that. Okay, our last email is from Otis from Dorval, Quebec, and he writes, here's a thought. I'll pay Marvel Studios $15 not to try and make another Fantastic Four movie, and maybe any more Spider-Man movies while we're at it. Who's with me? But the Avengers and Justice League cover a lot of the same ground, but with less cheesiness and more interesting characters. Let's let this die.
So I think we should just end this off on a positive note. The cast of Dark Matter came and I asked the question to Alex Molara Jr., who played number 4. And here's my very brief interview with Alex, and we'll end it off on that. So okay. We'll talk to you later.
So Alex, it's fair to say that your character, number 4, in comparison to the other members aboard the Raza, your character had the most revealing backstory all season long. So now that we've reached the finale, where do you see his headspaces at going into season 2?
His headspace is just, I think he's really toggling that, do I want to go back to my old life? I mean, his story is so prominent from, as you said, from episode 1. And it's like he really followed it where, In episode 2, you have that line where 2 says, you know what, 2, don't call me Porcelain, my name is 2. And she was really, really strict and adamant about that. Where 4 is just, he keeps wanting to go back. So I think he just wants to go to Xyron and see what happens from then on.
Right. And it's fair to say that you've had some formal martial arts training or hand-to-hand combat experience. So I was wondering, how much input do you have in terms of the fight choreography and how much stunt work are you involved in on the series? Because your character is really, he's very hardcore in terms of how he handles himself with the sword as well as the hand-to-hand combat.
Johnstead is a great guy to work with as a stunt coordinator, and he loves to hear your input at all times. So I did get to give him some things to work with. And as far as martial arts, yeah, I spent my entire childhood doing Taekwondo at a very competitive level. And it was fun, and it really helped for this role. I stopped after high school to play basketball. Dark Matter was the first time I threw a kick in a long time. I just